AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. More fallout after the release of that video showing the police beating death of Tyre Nichols. CBS's Skylar Henry has the latest.
Five officers involved who were fired are facing multiple charges, including second-degree murder. Memphis police confirmed Monday that a sixth officer, Preston Hemphill, has been relieved of duty since the beginning of the investigation for his role in the incident. Several others who arrived on the scene are also under investigation.
He's dead, handcuffs, moaning on the ground, and everybody's walking around nonchalantly like it's business as usual. So it should be accountability for everybody on the video.
That's Nichols' family attorney, Ben Crump. Meanwhile, three Memphis Fire Department officials have been fired, and they could face charges in connection with the death of Tyre Nichols. A Chicago prosecutor is dropping sex abuse charges against singer R. Kelly. Speaking to fellow sexual assault victims.
As a survivor, I know that the courage that it took for them to come forward, and I know that for those who were seeking to have their day in court here in Illinois, that today's announcement may be disappointing.
But Kim Fox says R. Kelly will be in prison for decades anyway on federal convictions. A trial is underway in New York for a woman accused of trying to kill a friend by giving her cheesecake laced with poison.
Victoria Nasora is accused of coming up with the intricate scheme.
This woman concocted a calculated plan.
Prosecutor Constantinos Liturgas, in his opening statement, told jurors the poison cheesecake was a key element.
To get her alone in a room, to try to kill her, and to take her identity.
Nasora's friend did eat the cheesecake, then passed out. She survived, but when she came to, realized her passport and other items were missing. Nasora is also suspected of drugging men that she met on a dating website, then stealing their money. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Winter storm watches and warnings stretch from Texas to Pennsylvania. WCBS radio meteorologist Craig Allen.
Inland portions of Texas, as well as on up across the Mississippi Valley and on up towards the Great Lakes. This is an area where there is precipitation, where there is moisture, and it is falling in the form of snow, sleet, and freezing rain.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel, where he's been discussing several issues, including Iran's nuclear ambitions.
We agree that Iran must never be allowed to acquire a nuclear weapon.
Secretary Blinken also urged Israel and the Palestinians to do everything possible to calm recent tensions. Former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson discussing a phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin before the invasion of Ukraine.
He threatened me at one point and said, you know, Boris, I don't want to hurt you, but with a missile, it would only take a minute or something like that, you know.
Boris Johnson made his comments during an interview with the BBC. This is CBS News.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin has seen an alarming increase in the number of suicides, jumping 32% from 2000 to 2020. The Green Bay Press Gazette reporting that suicide is now Wisconsin's 10th leading cause of death. In the last 3 years, suicide rates were higher among rural residents than urban residents, and overwhelmingly, the suicides were among men. The federal COVID-19 emergency declarations are set to end in May. That means control over things like testing and vaccines will be handed over to the pharmaceutical companies instead of the federal government. And while it only costs around $3 to make, Moderna plans to hike the price of a COVID-19 vaccine 400% to $130 per shot. That cost will soon fall on the consumer or insurance companies. I'm Jane Matnair for Civic Media News.
You've kept up with the times. For example, you're fluent in texting.
Honey, what does IDTTSWA mean?
It means I'm going to the store, want anything.
If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org for a quick 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. And it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Check out aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hand played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hand used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. She's here. For those of you who don't know, we started a new segment that I am so excited about because we've been here before, and my guest is none other than the corporate counsel of Milwaukee County herself, the Dawn of Resistance, Maggie Dawn. And Maggie, I was saying, you are as intellectual as a person as I know. But you are also just a fierce fighter for truth. Let me ask you, how did you become such a fierce fighter for truth? The intellectual part of it, there are a lot of intellectual people. But you are willing to fight tooth and nail for the average person and for right. How did you make that happen?
Well, I think... Honestly, I have to attribute it a lot to my parents and just the environment that I grew up in. And my parents raised me in the Catholic Church, but we went to an extremely liberal Catholic church. The pastor there had advocated and got set up like a halfway house for folks coming out of prison that was right next to the school and the church that was very controversial. They were holding masses for gay, lesbian, and trans people way back. I'm talking like in the 80s, right? They were a huge supporter of environmental causes, and they tied all of that in to sort of this idea of social justice, right? But on a very personal level, I think I just never liked the idea. And every time I saw someone getting bullied, and I mean, I'm just talking about like in my little childhood peer group, I just didn't like it. I didn't like people getting picked on. And I was always very tall. You know me, Earl. Yeah. I'm a 6-footer, and I was always well off the growth charts. And so for whatever reason, I used the fact that I was pretty articulate as a young person, and I was a taller, larger kid, and I played sports. And I just thought it just came to me very naturally that, like, if I saw somebody getting taken advantage of, that I would step in. And I also did that, I think, in a way to advocate for my own voice, because I was unusually tall for a young girl, and I was unusually articulate as a child and for a girl. And all of that just sort of made really organic and intuitive sense to me. I went to a smaller Catholic grade school, and there was only one or two Black kids in my class. At least there were some people of color in my class. And I remember the first time my friend Portia Davis, if you're out there, hi, sister. I say hi to you. The first time my friend Portia was called the N-word in class, and I remember I lost my bananas, you know, right. And I remember, you know, getting suspended for stepping up on things like that or getting sent home and explaining to my parents, hey, no, this is what happened, and having them say, you know, you can't talk back to teachers and it's not okay to push another kid. But if you're going to get upset, these are the things to get upset right. about. So I don't really know why. And I think my parents just very intentionally sought out experiences for me where I met a lot of different kids that were from very different religious and socioeconomic backgrounds. And you just, you relate to people as human beings. You don't see those differences right. when you're children. And that was just ingrained from sort of jump. Right. And so that's always how I've moved through the universe, if you will. And I've sought out those environments again and again and again. I don't ever want to speak on behalf of someone else. I want to hopefully advocate to create space for others to share their truth, because it's not, I haven't walked in other people's shoes, but as a lawyer, as someone that works in government, there are truths, there are facts. And everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but everybody's not entitled to their own facts. And so in my day-to-day work world, where I see elected officials proceeding based upon a misapprehension of fact or law, it literally is my job to help correct that. And that often places me in positions where there's some tension and conflict.
Right.
And I think, again, I think my parents, I think that particular church that I grew up in, not the Catholic Church writ large, but that particular right. church, for making me tolerant of some of that tension and conflict that comes your way when you stand up for those things.
You know, Maggie, you and I are a lot alike, not from the intellectual part of it.
Yes, we are.
But we are a lot alike from the perspective of I've always fought against people who abuse others. And because to me, it just made no sense. What do you get out of making somebody else feel less than you are? I mean, I don't follow that. Life is too short. And to make somebody else feel less than, right? Or I'm better, or I'm bigger, I'm stronger.
Yep.
I'm going to squash the little person because the little person is weak and I'm strong. I've always resented that on any level, and I've always fought against it. Even on these airways, I'm going to fight against it because yep. life could be so much easier, right? And should be so much easier. And I don't think I do it because I get something out of it. I think I do it because it's the right thing to do. Right.
I've been thinking a lot about that because, you know, I was listening to your show on my drive out, of course, and I don't understand a lot of the motivation that undergirds what I'm going to just call the big swaths of the middle class and working poor that support Donald Trump, right? What if you're wrong? And let's just think, like, I always try to challenge myself by posing that question. Like, let's assume I'm wrong. Like, let's run this out. Right. Like, what's the counter hypothetical? And all of those things, like if you flip all of that on its head and you start telling yourself or entertaining a narrative that's the opposite of all of that blame, right? At base, you know, and your prior caller was talking about prosperity theology and this concept of deserve right. and blame and worthiness, right? That really, you started to hear that languaging starting with like Nixon and Reagan, right? And so we can strip the social safety net and remove it because people deserve to be poor because they're bad. They're yeah. lazy, right? All of that stuff. What if that's not right? What if that's factually inaccurate?
Which is the case.
Right, right, of course. But to challenge yourself in those folks that believe that, what if you're totally wrong? And, oh, by the way, do you go to church on Sunday? Right? My brothers and sisters that subscribe to that notion, what would Jesus do, right? Like, what if you're wrong? And the vast majority of the poor here in the United States, if you're feeling that pain, are just like you and are working really hard. What if there is institutional racism? What if Black people are being lynched by the police, right? Like, what if all of that is true and you stand by and refuse to acknowledge those facts? You stand by in the face of those injustices. You are part of that injustice. So to me, there's a certain amount of I think, not just willful ignorance, but a fear of acknowledging that it really could be this inequitable, because it challenges this fundamental thing that they were taught about themselves, about their position in this world, about this country, about their faith. And to acknowledge those things, I think psychologically, is really traumatizing for a lot of folks.
So Maggie, straight up, it's why I love having the dialogue and the conversation with you. As a Black man in this nation, to have read about and listened to my father and others of what they went through in his lifetime, right? My dad died at 94 a couple of years ago. And what he went through.
What he saw.
Yeah, what he... And somebody who fought for this nation, and when he came back, couldn't get on the bus, and had to stand because there were seats that were open.
Mm-hmm.
He put his life on the line for the country.
Yep.
And to never have been able to really get an equal opportunity when he finally bought a house. He couldn't get to buy the house that he wanted to. He's a United States veteran.
Yep.
Because of redlining.
Yep.
And he couldn't get the right interest rate.
Yep. Paid more.
Because what did he do?
Fought for the country.
Yes. And it was because of the color of his skin, solely because of that. And as I now am looking towards and looking at the end of my life cycle, entering into that. And I know that none of these things are going to change in my life cycle. And then I look at my sons in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in their life cycle, this is not going to change. And then when people say, I don't want the history taught because I don't want my children to feel bad. And then my response is, what are you talking about history? Things are still going on today that people don't want to admit. And then it's hard when, you know, a guy like Colin Kaepernick takes a knee and they rise up against him and say, you're anti-American. I'm like, hey, come on.
He's the truest form.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
844-967-2789. The dawn of resistance is here. Maggie Dawn, we'll be right back.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California.
Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High of 23 this afternoon under sunny skies. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 14 tonight. Mainly clear skies. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 24. Single digits above zero Friday, turning much warmer on Saturday with highs in the low 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently 9 above.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
The Earl Ingram Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 9 o'clock, meaning the dawn of resistance has graced us in the studio, and she will be doing that every Wednesday. I can't wait as we move forward and we tackle a lot of issues, Maggie, because, you know, nobody attacks it the way you do. And I'm always excited to have you in the studio. Let's go to Andy from Beaver Dam. Hey, Andy, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, Earl, I haven't met either you or Maggie at the Roman coin back on the Brady Street days.
Yes, sir.
But,
that's a long time.
And I miss you both, and of course, we know that Earl is a tremendous Marvin Gaye fan, so
yeah,
that's a few points. But that's not the reason I called. I wonder, in terms of enlightening students and kids in this day and age, do they have any understanding what the black population over the generations, how they got here, what happened, and we don't want to burden these other kids, you know, with guilt or whatever, but don't you think truth is what really it's all about? I mean, you know, to know how our brothers and sisters, how their lives evolved into what we have today, and yet they're still paying the price for their involuntary of coming from other countries in here. I mean, from Africa or Nigeria or whatever. You know, I think it's really, you know, I don't know the Republicans where they're coming with that thing that we're worried about that. I think it would be very helpful and genius that kids would know more about it, younger kids. I think when you and I went to school back in the 60s, I don't know, we kind of had a little bit of a feeling for it in.
That's because the civil rights struggle was so new.
We were right in the middle of
yeah,
it, right?
And was happening exactly right then. Well, let me say this, Andy. It's a great thought because it's Black History Month, and I've got a great professor, Bob Harvey, who's going to be joining us several times during the month, and others.
Professor Harvey.
Yes, and others.
You get him started, he doesn't quit.
Yeah.
He's full of knowledge.
Yeah, let me do this. Let's let Maggie respond.
It's interesting because I think we were just talking about this on the break, really, and what I was sharing with Earl, and I'll share with all of you, is this. I think it's very ironic to me that this conservative, the straw men that conservatives have erected around wokeness, around critical race theory and cancel culture, they claim that all of these things are bad, right? And that this is sort of contrary to the First Amendment. It's anti-patriotic. It's anti-American. And so we now have to oppose these things and in many cases now ban books, engage in censorship, oppose AP Black History. Thank you, Ron DeSantis in Florida. Where did all of that come from? Right. And so when did we start talking about all these things? So one of the things was, I think it's in part a backlash to the Black Lives Matter movement. Right. That is a pendulum action reaction. But I think also liberals in a way made some mistakes. Right. And that was in some of our country's most elite colleges and universities. They effectively refused to permit some of the most incendiary conservative speakers to come and share their thoughts. And that led to this, liberals are censoring. And so these small sort of what I'm going to call mistakes, I think that those are mistakes. Anybody should be able to get up and say anything. You win the argument on the dais with the person saying the crazy stuff, right? You just beat them in the argument. But they took that and then white fear that came in response to the Black Lives Matter movement, packaged all of that up. Again, Donald Trump certainly helped throw open this door now have erected this movement that is attacking some of the most fundamental parts of trying to educate children and young adults and Americans writ large, including adults, about the true history of our country, which must, by definition, include all of the difficult stuff. It must be age appropriate. It must be taught in meaningful, age appropriate ways. We don't need to be scaring children. But every child has a right to access the truth, to be given an opportunity to see that. Parents in the homes can tell them whatever they want to about it. But this idea that it's now infecting and going into the public school system to effectively censor out of our teaching of American history what are the most complex, difficult, and shameful parts of our history. And yes, shameful parts of our history. It is okay for young children to have complicated feelings about our country's past. I'm always like, so what? But I think you see this incredible, intense gaslighting or hypocrisy coming from the right, that liberals are snowflakes and liberals engage in cancel culture. We're not the ones banning books in school libraries. We're not the ones showing up at school boards meetings that we don't even belong to the district, terrorizing school board members, right? Like, that's not us. We are the party. We are the movement of let's have the argument. Let's engage that debate because we will beat you. We are not afraid of facts and reality. And that is the bottom line truth.
Hey, Andy, always good to hear from you, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
Yeah, thank you. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. That's the dawn of resistance. Your heart's no longer blue.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Thousands of mourners are expected at Tyre Nichols' funeral in Memphis today. CBS's Elise Preston says the investigation into his death after a brutal police beating continues.
There are still so many things the family doesn't know, like what started this traffic stop and why it escalated. Yesterday, the city of Memphis announced it will likely be weeks before the full video and audio of the incident is released to the public.
Breaking news in the world of football. Tom Brady has just announced on Twitter,
I'm retiring for good.
Terry Buck's quarterback thanking fans, his family, friends, teammates, and competitors for supporting him and his dreams and sending love to all. Parts of the South are still in the grips of icy weather. This Memphis Lyft driver is sitting today out.
I was going to get out and make some money today, but after seeing a couple cars on bridges, you know, hit some black ice, I didn't want to get out there.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. It's never too late to get off the bench and get active because of a particular cause or candidate. Kate Duffy was one of those folks. She and Nicole Slavin started a group last year for moms who knew they needed to be better informed voters and to help others vote smarter.
They don't really follow politics or they don't understand politics. So we initially started this as a way to kind of bridge that gap and kind of cover stories that were happening politically through a parental lens. The really cool thing about the community that we've built here is that so many of the people have never been involved in politics before.
Us included, Kate. How often do we go, never done this before? Okay, let's figure it out.
100% us included, yes.
Figure it out, yeah.
You can find them on Instagram at Motherhood for Good, and we're going to feature them occasionally on Monday mornings as they help busy parents navigate important issues and make good choices in the voting booth. Catch Up North News Radio weekdays 6 to 8 a.m.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Get used to having my good friend and really, to be honest, freedom fighter, Maggie Dawn, in the studio with us. And, you know, Maggie and I had another reason why I love her so much is we were going to talk about something completely different. Right. And maybe it was meant for us to talk about what we're talking about right now.
100%.
Because I think, so I went to a segregated grade school in the 1960s because, you know, everything was segregated. And by 1968, the civil rights struggle, the Open Housing Act came through, and black people in the city of Milwaukee were now able to live in different areas. And my dad was able to move the family to outside of the box that we were locked into in the 60s, as black people were. And so I went from an all-black grade school, 100% black, everything was black, to a 95% white middle school, and then a 95% white high school. And the experience shaped who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
100%.
Being around different people, getting to know different people, it helped shape who I am. Had I not had that experience, Maggie, I wouldn't be the guy who could sit here and be on a radio station in Waukesha and be heard across the state, one of the most segregated states in all the nation.
Yep.
And have a dialogue and a conversation with people who don't look like me. But I had that experience that changed me forever. You had a similar experience.
Yeah. It again, the grade school that I went to was not super diverse, but we only had like 15 kids in our class. At least two or three of those children were people of color.
Right.
So in addition to that, my parents really made an effort to get me involved in a lot of extracurricular activities that were based out of the MPS system. Because MPS has always and continues to have this really robust rec program,
oh,
right?
Absolutely.
All kinds of after school and summer programming, different kind of athletic camps. But I took all these sorts of both sports and music and theater related classes through the MPS rec program. And so I had this really interesting group of friends that kind of came from all parts of the city. We're all sorts of faiths, and we're all different colors.
Right.
And so when it came time for me and my parents to choose and select a high school, and I grew up on 67th and Center, we were just talking about this, on the city of Milwaukee side, we looked at a lot of the Catholic high schools, as well as some East Coast prep schools. I had done really well in grade school. But the place that I wanted to go was this urban magnet high school, Rufus King, because a lot of my friends were going there. And I remember very distinctly as an eighth grader thinking, I know what most of these other places are going to be like. And I've been in environments like that. Right. And I don't want to go do that. I know what that is. I would rather go do this thing that's different and new and that I know I'm going to learn from.
Not to mention it was a quality school.
Oh, I know. I would argue that was right. That was and is the best damn high school in the state, at least. And so I chose to go to King, and my parents supported that. And that meant many days taking the city bus. I am forever changed because I went to Rufus King, and that meant I went in a very sort of, you went into a mostly white environment, and I went into an environment where the vast majority of kids at King were black and brown folk, right? And that made all the difference, right? I feel like I should quote Robert Frost, two roads diverged in a clouded wood, and I chose the path less traveled by, and that has made all the difference, right? And that experience and building friendships and relationships on athletic teams, on academic teams, in classrooms, meeting kids all along the social strata was really revelatory. I'll be very candid and maybe overshare a little bit. I entered Rufus King with my parents' sense of morality, which I think was really great in a lot of ways, but they were very staunchly pro-life.
Right.
They were not particularly supportive of that at that time of LGBTQ rights. And by the time I exited Rufus King, I was staunchly pro-choice and very supportive of the LGBTQ plus community and had arguments with my parents about those things because I gained friendships with a young woman who needed to have an abortion, had friendships with people who were out and gay at King
right.
back in the early 90s, and began that dialogue with my parents. They will tell you today that part of what I talked to them about back then, planting those seeds and their own reevaluation of their belief system, has led them to be pro-LGBTQ plus rights and pro-choice today. So it's interesting that my parents' openness to sending me into this environment that was totally different, that looked more like other folks and less like me, helped them become more open-minded. So the closing of self, the closing of your mind, creates a cycle of closure. That is what's so dangerous about today. Frankly, when I got to Marquette as an undergrad and I went there on a full scholarship because my parents couldn't afford 40 G's large right. in cash every year, I was like, where did all these rich white people come from? I had never been around that many wealthy white people. Legit, because all of my friends growing up were just sort of middle-class folks of all these different stripes, colors, and backgrounds. So reverse culture shock in sort of the opposite way, you know what I'm saying?
So for those in the listening audience, so when people, especially those who are on the side of the wokeness and all of those things, and who don't want their children to know that they're LGBTQ, people in the world.
Right.
You know, as if somehow...
the people are different.
As if somehow they're going to catch LGBTQ disease, right?
Yeah, it ain't the flu.
Yeah, no. And so you do damage to the development of your child, who then grows up to become an adult and then wakes up into the real world and does not know how to deal with those in the real world. The world is made up of all sorts of people.
Yep.
And they're not just the people from your neighborhood, right?
100%.
Or you know, the environment that you're from, or Christians, right?
And I think that's the movement that Republicans are trying to hold off as long as they can, right? If we take it up a thousand levels, the demography here cannot be denied. This country every year is more
changing.
And more multicultural. It is less and less white, right?
Well, so for every white person who dies, there's zero population growth.
Yep.
That's a fact.
Yep.
And it's been going on for a long time.
Right. And so,
and Europeans, the same thing. And so some of us know that what the demographers are saying.
Well, this is what Tucker Carlson freaks out about, right? This is this whole replacement theory. And instead of embracing that and saying, hey, this is not zero sum, and because people are going to look differently and our country's demography is going to change, that's a good thing. This is what the United States at its highest and best purpose was always intended to be. Let's embrace that, right? It's this regressive demand to return to white ethno-nationalist
racism.
It's not going to happen.
You might try
to put your finger in the hole in the wall, but the wall's coming down eventually.
Tom from L.A., hey, man, what's going on, man? It's Maggie.
Hey, Tom, what's
Maggie,
up?
Maggie, I'm loving you.
Unadulterated Maggie.
Maggie, I'm loving you. Maggie, I'm loving you more and more every time I hear you speak. So,
thanks, Tom.
Anyway, I just wanted to say, you know, from a kid that grew up in Wisconsin, and I grew up in a town of 2,000 people in Durand, Wisconsin, by Eau Claire. And, you know, basically, I had Sister Rita Mae, again, who is my Catholic grade school. And she said, you know, being a Christian means walking in the footsteps of Christ, doing as Christ would have done. And that's the way I live my life, honestly, is what would Christ do? He didn't judge people. He loved everyone. All these different things. But growing up there and being someone that's gay and, you know, basically being invisible to the masses because of the fact that, you know, I played football. My dad was a football coach, all these different things. And I would say this to any young kid that's out there, you know, it's okay to be gay, right? It's just like being left-handed or right-handed. It's just that we're more on the left-handed side because it was, that is our orientation.
Tom, it's nobody's business.
Yeah.
Well, Earl, I got to tell you, though, what's interesting is when you live in those small towns like that, and I never really was homophobic. I was more femophobic because the whole masculinity thing comes with being gay as you're less of a man. But I'll never forget when we had a forensics tournament, and we had to go to Milwaukee. Mm. And, we went to Milwaukee, and oh my God, I'm seeing all of these black people. And I'm like, they're cool. They're the people I want to hang with. They were doing breakdancing. They were doing all this stuff. And I became friends with some of those people there. And it was like, wow. And that's where, I started thinking, okay, I want to go somewhere that's more progressive. That's one of the reasons I moved to California was basically because I thought it was more progressive and I could actually be open and have the same type of life that I had or my parents have and everyone has in Wisconsin, but have my husband and my partner and just, not make a big deal about my orientation.
Yes.
And it was such a... getting emotional. It was such a journey.
Well,
it's kind of the same thing you guys are saying. I did not care to hear people bullying, and I'd heard so many gay epithets because of the fact that I was invisible to my friends.
Yes.
That was the fear to actually ever come out was because of the fact that they might think so much less of me, than who it was that I was. And luckily for me, that did not happen. Everyone always embraced me and everything like that. But I still heard all the, negative things
Tom, it's really good that this conversation is being had because, quote unquote, straight people who judge others need to understand the impact that they're having on people's lives when they have no right to. But to somehow think that I have a right, and it's why we have the separation from Christian Muslim, black, white, all of these things that we create in our own minds, we have no right. You as an individual really have no right to impress that on others.
Well, and it's even beyond that. There's such a what Tom speaks to with such emotionality, right, is that there's a loss of opportunity of love and acceptance. And this great 2 + 2 = 5, 6, 10, 20, that by embracing one another and our differences and being humble enough to not judge, we actually multiply our empowerment, what we can do and what we can bring to the table. For those that try to suppress that, you're not only hurting yourselves, but you're hurting your children as well in a very deep way. We can do so much better.
Well said, Maggie. Tom, thank you as always, man. We got to go to the break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
With the balance of the Wisconsin Supreme Court at stake, it's more important than ever to cast your ballot for Judge Janet Protasiewicz.
Judge Janet is a former Milwaukee County prosecutor and now circuit court judge who's been a lifelong advocate for victims of crime.
Judge Janet Protasiewicz believes in women's freedom to make our own decisions when it comes to abortion.
And she believes in protecting our communities.
And investing in public safety.
Judge Janet believes in fair elections and protecting our right to vote.
But the Trump-connected MAGA extremists running for Supreme Court want abortion banned in Wisconsin, even in cases of rape, incest, and the health of the mother.
And they could take away our voting rights.
The decisions the Wisconsin Supreme Court make affect us all.
And our future.
So if you want a fair, impartial justice that cares about us and protecting our rights,
protecting our freedoms,
and protecting our neighborhoods,
vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz for Supreme Court.
Paid for by Janet for Justice.
JanetForJustice.com.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High of 23 this afternoon under sunny skies. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 14 tonight. Mainly clear skies. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 24. Single digits above zero Friday. Turning much warmer on Saturday with highs in the low 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently 9 above.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Wednesday, and man, Maggie Dawn is here. And you know one thing that most people don't know is Maggie is such an emotional person, and really so am I. And so there are things that we talk about that get emotional because you just don't understand how human beings can treat others in a manner that they do. I mean, I don't know what's to be gained. That poor woman in Connecticut who all she wanted to do was open a coffee shop. And I don't know, Maggie, if the fact that she's from Mexico, if that played a role in it too, the fact that she was harassed and threatened because all she wanted to do was open a coffee shop.
Owner?
No. Well, you get it.
Right?
You come on now. I know. I mean, The fact that she was easy prey.
I think that's what, I mean, can we be really honest here? There is a whole undertone, maybe it's not even undertone, maybe it's the overtone, maybe it's the whole tone that is bullying about the entire conservative movement,
yes.
Right? I mean, that's what it is. Well, you're poor because you deserve it and you don't have big, deep pockets to buy politicians. So I'm going to blame you because your voice isn't as big as mine. I'm Tucker Carlson. I'm going to call all you out because I can. And I'm going to make you feel like you're less than we are, whomever that we is. And we know who that is. That is white people, right? There's such a desire to simply leverage power that you happen to have right now to keep other folks down based on this completely inane, outdated idea that by lifting others up, you're somehow going to lose. I talk about this all the time. This is not zero sum. And undergirding all of that are these basic racist tropes that the conservative party and Republicans trade in every day. It's just woven into the fabric of what they've been saying, and it's more explicit than it's been in my lifetime. I think a lot of people that are around my age, meaning in their 40s, early 50s, really thought that we had turned a page. And we've talked about this a bit.
Right.
Some folk, I think, got a little complacent thinking there is this just, we're on this march to progress, and here we go, right? And Barack Obama won, and now we're going to have Hillary. It takes work every day. I'm very proud of the fact that before any of that happened, I had already made the choice to come back home and enter public service, right? And I think many of us need to heed that call to speak up, right? In those day-to-day conversations, you don't know when your friend Tom might be a closeted person, you don't know if that person, if you're using racially loaded language, might be in love with a person of color, or their best friend may be a person of color. So when you hear that language, assume there's a Tom in the room. Assume that there's someone who loves and cares about a person of color, and step up and say something. I think those of us who know have an obligation to bear witness and always oppose the oppressor, the bully. Right? Like, I don't need to call it is oppression because it's systemic, but on a day over day individual basis, let's stand up to the bullies because they're everywhere, it seems today.
Maggie, you know, there's only one Maggie Dawn, because again, I've witnessed this. I don't know if it's a rebirth or if it was always there of racism in this country. Mm. And it's okay, you know, when a Tucker Carlson, who is nothing more than a race baiter.
Yep.
He's not like Bill O'Reilly, who might have been the same thing, had enough moxie to understand. I'm not just going to blatantly say and do racist things. Rush Limbaugh, who himself was a racist, certainly knew that I'm not going to just put it out there. But today, I don't care if it's on conservative talk shows, whatever it is, that they are blatant with the things they say and the things they do. And then they support and they get support from others who maybe not want to be as candid with their feelings. But when a Tucker Carlson says it, or when a Jay Weber or Dan O'Donnell says it, then it's easy for people to say.
It gives permission.
Yes.
In the every, like, I wish we'd stop using the term microaggressions. That stuff is macro, right? Yeah. when people say racist things and you're a person of color or engage in misogyny or homophobia, like, that is shocking to the conscience when you witness that. And it's just, it's on repeat now, and it's out loud. It's getting shouted in people's face every day. And it really is destroying our ability to have any kind of meaningful conversation about all of these difficult issues surrounding race. Like, the conversations that we need to be having about police, about mental health, about all of these different things are being drowned out by all of this culture war garbage that has nothing to do with what the actual issues that face middle-class Americans or the issues surrounding race, gender, ethnocentrism, homophobia, that are real on a social basis, because we can't get to the real. We're having all of these peripheral garbage conversations about freaking M&Ms and not having a conversation about Tyre Nichols, right? Like, yeah. That's what's not happening, because they have taken the debate away from the real, invented all of these straw man arguments, and we're stuck in the damn loop with them.
You know, Maggie, I always hate it when you have to go.
I love you, man.
Likewise. And, you know, CJ finally called. You got to go.
So see you, CJ,
I'll have
next
to
time.
Deal with him on the other side. But thank you. We'll see you on next Wednesday. At least it's not 2 weeks from now.
Roger that.
Maggie Dawn. All right. Dawn of Resistance. Be right back.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics.
Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always.